Welcome and karibu sana to Adam's Cave. Adam's Cave is a space where we discuss matters affecting the men and their Eves. So all the Adams and Eves, it's now take time to take up your place and please be part of this conversation using our SMS line 20933 or our WhatsApp line 0717-400-555. I'm your host, Kissinger Kiprotich, and I'm so delighted today to welcome you for a very special edition of Adam's Cave. If you joined us last week, we discussed Naked and Not Ashamed, a very, very interesting conversation, and you should get a copy of that if you missed it. So we want to continue that conversation and consider another topic, Naked and Leading. Naked and Leading. So I'm so delighted today and honored to host an elder, a very, very seasoned corporate leader, and an accomplished author of over 20 books. He's currently the managing director of Taruma Consultants, and is someone I would recommend very highly that you get in touch. Ladies and gentlemen, Adams and Eves, it's time to listen to Elder John Nana.
Thank you. Happy to be back in the cave.
No, welcome, sir.
Thank you.
The conversation last week was amazing on the naked and not ashamed. Naked and not ashamed. So today we consider the topic leading, naked and leading.
Yes.
Naked and leading. I understand you had a very interesting conversation at Sitam Kitengela on this particular matter. What did you discuss?
I discussed at least three things. Yes. And that was, this time we combined my wife and I to talk about leadership of the Christian family. Answering three questions. Number one, what do we talk about this joint leadership of the family? How is this to be done in a Christian sense between husband and wife? Question number two, what if the wife seemed to be more gifted? How does that work in leading the Christian family? How is a man going to lead the family when he has been blessed with a very, very gifted, or use the word I like using, empowered wife? Is an empowered wife an ability or an asset in a Christian marriage? Then thirdly and importantly, when you talk about the issue about submission, what does it mean? Does it mean domineering your wife? What is the wife to do in order to be supportive of a husband without that domineering word coming in? Those are the issues men need to listen, and hopefully they'll convince their Eves to also participate, so that our families can be better led. We spent a bit of time emphasizing a well-governed family, it will benefit the country. A well-governed family will benefit the church. A well-governed family is what God is after.
Wow. Thank you. Adam and Eve, let's transition and go to Down Sitam Kitengela and listen to the full version in answering these questions that Elder Nana has raised.
We thank you for the many, many gifts. Many, many gifts. Only a few of that have we brought to you. We pray that you use it for the extension of your kingdom, and you cause us to know that you are the one who gives us power to make wealth. And so be dependent on you even as we seek to make wealth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to begin by mentioning a few of the things we mentioned with the men that cause challenges in leadership, in leading the family together. Number one, the feeling of some women, and I think some men are in it, to feel like God's word requires revision. Surely, even books get revised, isn't it? Why can't the Bible also be revised? Because the Bible is totally clear. The leader of a Christian family is God. What is he called? A man. And my sister, it does not matter how gifted you are, it will be an unbiblical family when you insist you are the leader, your wife, your husband is the follower. Whether you go to Old Testament, go to New Testament, look at taking Greek or look at Hebrew, it will still say the same. The leader of the family is the man. And so we thought as men, what you require is a Bible study on what it means to be a man, what it means to be a husband, and what it means to be a wife. Because most of the problems have depend on what did that woman hear. She formed an opinion who a man is. Then you come, she wants you to be the man in her dreams rather than the man you really are. And that creates a big problem. It's my friend, the late Dr. Gatere, who said a lot of problems in marriage have to do with that girl. He attended a wedding when she was 5 years and formed an opinion about how a good man looks like and is in her dream. Then she marries you and you don't approximate the one in her dreams. Now, he said, instead of your marriage having trouble, since you are married to two men, divorce one. The one who is in your dreams and the one who is in your bed. Now, you have a choice who to divorce. The only trouble is that if you divorce one in your bed, the one in the dream might never come. So it's pretty foolish. And he says, the moment you divorce one of the dreams, the one in the bed will start becoming better. Because you see, he's no longer being compared. Are we together? You will deal with the real one. And although that time we were talking about men, we were men, so we were talking about that. I think it's also true of women, isn't it? So it's important to understand that the first solution is to understand each other. Number two, we say the second problem that we are having is men who have been leaders, but they are insecure. Men, you remember that discussion. An insecure man is a man who has been promoted, but he knows he's not the best. He was only promoted because his uncle said so. Now, do you know if you have a boss who is insecure, please accept my sympathy in advance. You do well, you want to take my job. You do badly, you want to bring me down. It doesn't matter whether you perform well, you're always in trouble with the boss. Because he's suffering from insecurity. And my sister, if your husband is an insecure husband, please accept my sympathy. It may not do much, but you know I understand you. Your problem, there's nothing you can do. You become a better woman, says you want to take over. You become a lesser woman, says you want to bring us down. It doesn't matter what you do, my sister. There is only trouble in your marriage. But the problem is not with the sister. The problem is in the insecure husband. One who does, how did I become a leader of such a powerful woman? Maybe when you look at that, you are together in the campus, and at that time, she didn't look any better than you. She just looked beautiful and nice, and she impressed you. After marriage, she is going places. She is CEO that, and CEO there, that, and CEO, I knew you are CEO, a clerk. Now, you start, how did I ever become a husband to such a man? In fact, sometimes you wonder, like apologizing for being the husband. Now, you need to understand insecurity is very possible. Are we together? So we said, you must find your security in God. The God who made you the husband of such a powerful woman knew he would give you the capacity. He doesn't just call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And he has called you to be the husband of a powerful woman. So do not go there. Go there properly knowing you are the leader of this powerful woman. God has made you the leader. And so it's no longer, the moment you have no insecurity, it no longer bothers you that she is going places. So we said it's very important. Thirdly, we said the other problem, we are looking at the problem, the issues of the problem. We said we have a problem with the empowered women mistaking to be empowered to mean better. The fact that your career is improving doesn't make you better than the husband. You are different. Are we together? We even talked about the issue of affirmative action. These days, if you have the same degree, same qualification, women will be promoted before you. Am I right? Then after the woman is promoted out of affirmative action, she starts imagining she's better than the husband. And the only thing they're making her husband not be promoted is because he happens to be a man and is suffering for the other men who are too many in power. Now, so you need to understand your marriage is suffering because of a woman who mistakes God's gift through her to mean better or worse. Am I communicating? And we said, the moment a woman understands, and I've talked about that earlier, that you have a common mission, and because you have a common mission, God can empower either the man or the woman or both differently. Because that way, the common mission will be better fulfilled. So if God chooses to bless your marriage through giving more money through the wife, it's still our money. Am I right? So it doesn't matter whether he chooses the man or chooses the woman. The trouble is a woman when God chooses to use a woman to bring more money to the family. For the woman to mistake the higher salary to mean there is anything better or worse. Surely by now you understand something we don't like telling our children. That your new classmates who worked harder than you, but when the exams were done, you who was not as hardworking ended up passing. Do you have that experience? I have many friends, both in primary and in high school, who work until you wish you could work like that. But when the exam is done, they don't do it. Are we together? So the moment you start mistaking God's gift to mean better or worse, your marriage will be sorted out. Because you go there feeling respect for your husband, although the truth is, he has only gotten 1.5 promotions in that 8 years. But you know he's a good man. You know he works hard. You know he is loving. You know he is your friend. So to you, the fact that his salary doesn't double like yours does not disturb you. You know it's God's gift that matters. Am I communicating? So that problem no longer disturbs you. Go discover that. Just like the fact that my wife has a master's and I don't have any and I'm not even applying for one. Does not bother me. Because I know what we are doing. I know the calling of God on me. I know her calling. And I know for her to do well in her work, she must get her master's. She used to teach A-level economics. And she really enjoyed it. Because remember, she was a BCom. So when she decided to come out where she can breastfeed her family, she opted not to be in industry, but to go to teaching. Because teaching has more holiday. In fact, when she started, they used to went to have her out of the week. They used to have a shopping day. You know, Saturday and Sunday is already free. Then in the middle of the week, she would have a shopping day. That's the way the timetable was done. So she was able to breastfeed her children clearly. Now, but the salary was very small. But the truth is, when they decided to remove A-level, the older students became university students. Am I right? Because they went to university. That's how it became 4 years. She said, I'm following my students where they have gone, because she found it very difficult to teach from once when she has been teaching A-level alone. So she needed to do a master's for her to teach the students in the university. Is that expected? So how would I be affected and I'm not a teacher? Isn't it foolishness? Am I communicating? She is not better than me because she's doing a master's. She is following the calling. Now, so when you hear men talking like that, tell them the truth, but quietly, you are a fool. But it just means they don't know what they are talking about. Because either they have no family mission, and they don't understand the giftings between the two of them. Am I communicating? So we agreed. A woman who thinks because she is having more money, she is better. Also has to be told very nicely. You are clever, but a clever fool. It's very important to... It's very important to understand that we are different. We are made differently. It's not that I was not going for courses. I did courses in Britain, in Holland, courses in Finland. But our courses are just what Cheryl needed me to do. It will not be a master's. And what I'm learning may not be taught in a classroom. It's taught in industry. So why would I be jealous when my wife, who is a teacher, gets a master's and gets a PhD? Do you know there are many, some of them may be seated here, who are doing a master's because the wife has a master's. You ask, what did you do it? I'll think about it later. Now, you know. For jealousy to be in a marriage is not a Christian marriage. So we say that was the other problem. Number 3, we said there are some of the problems are coming Because some people have believed what they said. Mwanamume ni plot. Have you heard of that saying? Surely, which chapter or which verse? So a lot of women think that you are a man if you bring money. So when you bring little, you are less of a... And you know those things, I know we are couples, so I can talk like this. Those things even enter the bedroom. Because the moment the man stops feeling he is a man, he starts having problems in bed. You wonder why? It's because he doesn't feel like a man. He tries to perform, he can't perform. But they all came from lack of money. Because the wife made him think he's only a man if he has money. Is that anywhere in the Bible? No. The moment you know your husband is your husband and has nothing to do with money or no money, he is still your husband. Then it will never arise who brought money. The next thing we agreed is part of the problems come because you don't have common economy. You have people, the Bible says, the two shall become. And on the wedding day, you accept the vow. But moment, what I was talking about later, moment after that, the wife has her money, the husband has his own money. There are people who are married, but their pockets are never married. That's why you have a rich wife and a poor. That's an unbiblical marriage. The moment your money don't marry, you have a marriage, a cultural marriage, not a biblical marriage. That's my money. No, it's your money. Now, the moment you have that kind of thing, sometimes, like I say, in the last 30 years or so, the first 10 years, we are not counseling anybody, but the last 30 years, we have been involved in counseling. And you hear, I lent him 50,000. Brother Nganga, he has not paid. Who was lending who, surely? Have you heard of those stories? Of course, you have heard them because they're in your house. Now, you need to understand. You need to understand what you are having is not a Christian marriage. In a Christian marriage, it's like communism. You use according to need, but you produce according to ability. Let me repeat. In a Christian marriage, you produce according to ability. You use according. So it doesn't matter that I'm earning 100,000, my wife is earning, being a teacher, only 20,000. When you bring two together, we have 20,000. If my suit is 1,000 shillings, and you can see how smartly she is dressed, and her suit is 20,000, I don't say, hiya, how can you buy 20,000? It's total of your salary. No, remember, Christian, the two have become one. And from that moment, you produce according to ability. You use according to need. You sit together and budget the common money together. And it doesn't matter, as long as you know it's needed, you don't say, but you didn't bring. It no longer matters who brought. It matters what is the need of the family. Are we together? And that's what is causing. As long as you start identifying who brought what, there's a problem. And let me tell you the truth. The moment you insist on that economy, now I can talk about, I'm 70 this year, I can talk about now our age mates. The moment you insist on that type of a life, you have condemned yourself to a very difficult life in old age. You see, by the time you get 70 something, you have no salary of any type. Are we together? And your wife has money and you have none. Then you get sick. She can't use her money on you. You know she doesn't even know exactly how much you. And have seen people die because the wife could not produce any money. Mwambia toe. Where was he taking his money? But you are getting sick. You can't even think. You can't anymore. It all was planted when you are young, when you ended up with separate economies. My friend, you are condemning yourself to trouble. Okay, I'm talking about men. But women are the same. The other day, there was this friend of ours where the wife is the one who got cancer. And then the husband completely refused. Completely refused to use. No. Take her to Kenyatta. No, we can't use our money on a dying woman. By that time, he already has a girlfriend. Because you can see she's dying. Unfortunately, she actually died. But in the meanwhile, her relatives, remember at that time, they are in their 60s or 70s. Her relatives came to protest. Our sister, you are killing our sister. But you are talking about an old woman, a shosho. And the husband said, no, my money cannot be used. And she died. All of it planted because of people not liking biblical marriages. That wasn't God's intention. Our money is for our use. So whoever gets sick and needs to go, a husband is not use his money to treat the wife. We use our money. It doesn't matter who gets sick. It doesn't matter who brought it in. It's our money. And then we said, I think we talked, my wife covered that one, men who are not surrendered to God. Then the other thing we talked about is issue of comparison. What you see in one marriage, you compare with? You know, Mason wrote a book and said, you are born an original, don't die a copy. Did you see that book? We are born, don't die. So a lot of the problems have to do with that. You know, so and so, she's rich, she does what she wants. My friend, go to the Bible for your culture. Don't go, and we have talked about that many times today. And that, as I finish this one, the last thing I think we talked about, and I think I want to mention it, is that your wife is not your choice. I know you don't want to admit, but I have written a book for young people called Finding a Life Partner. It's not written for you, it's for people who are not yet married. The other day I was speaking in a campus, and one of the staff said, can you give me a lift back in Nairobi? Yes. When she entered my car, she said, you know, brother, I've been wanting to talk to you one-on-one. Said, now we have 3 hours to... Says, yes, I have a problem with one of the titles of your book. I said, which one? The one you said, choosing a life partner, or finding a life partner. Say, what's wrong with the book? Says, I'm not married, but I don't want anybody choosing a husband for me. So why didn't you call the book Choosing a Life Partner? You called it Finding a Life Partner. So I told her, there's something you have not understood. Maybe whoever led you to the Lord did not disciple you properly. When Jesus comes, his title is Jesus Christ. Jesus to mean Savior, Christ to mean the Lord, the Anointed One. So the only way you get saved is when you accept you are no longer born mkubwa. You don't make choices. The last choice a Christian makes is the choice of Christ. From then onwards, he will never make another choice. He only does whatever the Master says. Whether it's a job, or a wife, or a husband, is ordered. And even if you actually became a Christian after you're already married, that wife of yours, if you really check, is God's choice. Because if you look at the circumstances, how you came together, there are issues above you. Are we together? No, like mine, I went to Nairobi University, she went to Makerere. She's from Eastern, I'm from Nyandarua, almost near Rift Valley. There's no way we'd have met. And when I was in that year, just about to finish, Jomo Kenyatta issued a presidential decree that all Kenyan students, because of Idi Amin, were to leave Uganda and go anywhere in Nairobi University or anywhere in the world, but nobody was allowed back to Uganda because of people who are dying at Idi Amin. So she came to Nairobi University, and just before I left campus, I saw her. The rest is history. Now, you need to understand, I got a wife by presidential decree. I have no idea if Jomo Kenyatta had not issued the decree, how and when we should have I ever met. Am I communicating? Just go and check how one thing led to the other, but then the other, within no time, you are getting married. But somehow he creates the circumstances. He orchestrates the thing that led you together. So your wife is not your choice. It's God's choice. Now once you understand this God's choice, you then understand you must live together, not at your whims, the likes and dislikes, but because God wants. So your husband, my sister, may not be doing the way you wanted. You feel embarrassed about him. After all, when you married him, like me, he was having Afro hairstyle. That's how this girl met me. But slowly the hair is running away every day. Now you walk with him, And you wonder, surely it's embarrassing to walk with a bare head. Now, but you can't leave him because you never got him as your choice. Am I communicating? Rejoice with the wife of your, even if she is bald head. No, women don't get bald head. I think they get gray hair. Am I right? Now, it's very important to understand that because the moment you accept your wife as God's choice, then you can't leave her. That's where divorce is an impossibility. Because if God has brought you together, how do you leave God's choice and still hope to God to join him in heaven? The only way you leave her is on your way to hell. Am I communicating? Because you see, he's the one who has brought her. Then you say, God, you made a mistake. Why should you have brought this such a woman? Surely, God, you made a mistake. Now, the moment you say, oh, God, he has made a mistake, is he still sovereign? Is he still Lord? No. And that's when you need to understand that a lot of the problems people are having is because God is not the sovereign of their marriage. They feel they have rights. Now, I can't stay with a guy going nowhere. It's too late for you to be saying that. You are now married. And you'll stay with her even if she is going nowhere. You know, these pastors even make us swear. I'll stay with her in sickness and... But she is so healthy that time. Do you ever imagine she can get sick? I still remember talking to a friend of mine, of my age mate, and we were visiting, both of us, and you know, there's sometimes the women go alone, and we are talking with the men. He said, you see that woman? The brother, we know each other from high school. And he said, you know, after the accident, she's not really a woman. I said, brother, what are you talking about? The important faculties were destroyed. You know, we are just two men talking. You know, I can't live like this. I told him, I sympathize with you. Of course, he's saying the bedroom matters have been destroyed. I told him, tell the Lord to give you courage and to give you contentment in this. He never heard me. A few years later, he just separated and got married to a young one. And later she died. But you see, by the time you throw away your wife because she has had an accident and therefore is not available in bed, who are you criticizing? Did your wife take herself to an accident? No. Am I communicating? Don't you understand that when you talk about, and I've written a book called The Secret of Contentment. When you talk about contentment in God, it means you can have a wife and available in bed and enjoy your marriage. Only God gives you contentment. But you know, she's not available. She seems to have gotten stuck with the word no. Now, you need to understand, if you truly are a Christian, you will talk to God about it. Are we together? And I know what I'm saying is not easy, but needs to be well understood. So you must accept your wife is God's choice and therefore stay with her, irrespective of the economic and social changes that are actually happening. So, what are we then saying? It will be important that we understand by God's decree, God wants us to stay together in order to achieve purpose. And that's very important. I'm back to the issue of mission. If you go to Malachi chapter 2, it answers the question, why are we one? Why are we married? That's the question. What Malachi chapter 2 verse 15 is answering the question. He says he brought them together that they may have a godly offspring. In other words, the reason for your marriage is not just physical, but spiritual. That means even if you get married and you don't have biological children, the coming together must be positively affecting the kingdom of the devil. And you must be bringing people to the Lord. The first candidate for evangelism, obviously, is your biological children. But you are trying, by coming into a marriage, you are coming together in order to increase God's kingdom, increase numbers. So you need to ask yourself, how is your marriage helping to increase and better God's kingdom on earth? How is your coming together? You know, you used to evangelize, and your husband was evangelizing, but separately. Now that you are together, has the productivity become less or more? Those of you who discuss management, you know it's called synergy. Synergy is the idea that when people work together as a team, they don't produce the total of the separate. They produce the total plus more. The extra and more is called synergy, the product of synergy. In other words, if Dr. Karao produce can lift 10 pounds and I can lift 10 pounds, when we come together, we don't lift 20, we lift 22. The extra two is the product of synergy. And that means in your marriage, your mission, if your mission is as per Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, it will be important to ask yourself, is your marriage making you better at doing God's work or less? How does it work? And so, although we have spent a lot of time talking about us as the two of us, we need to understand the intention is not just about the two of us. We are becoming a team in order to score the goals. That's why the 11 people are together in a football team. Are we together? Not to admire each other. Your nose is good. Even your ear is like an elephant. Now, that's okay after the game is over. But during the game, you play the goal to a, you play the football to a goal. Are we together? And that's all. So we're asking the question, why do we need good leadership in your home? It's because you have a mission you want to achieve. So your family needs not only to be well provided for, but also well governed so that it can achieve the goals it has set. You know, today's professionals do not bring up their children but delegate to less qualified environment. Am I right? That's why sometimes you are, how can you fail KCP? Your mother is a PhD and I'm a PhD. How? Now, you are mistaking it. Because of lack of this commonality of mission and the competition between the two of you, nobody has brought up the children. It has been the house girl. The house girl dropped out of Saturday 3. So your children are product of a Saturday 3. So why are you complaining? You did not bring up your children. They were brought up by the house girl. That's what my wife was talking about. There's a level of poverty that causes you to do the wrong things. It's the same thing. You hear somebody has been transferred, like got transferred to Kisumu, and you hear the wife can't go. Why? Our income will be less. Actually, my wife came to Kisumu without a job, and she was no longer even studying. She was just cooking for me. And the salary had to go down. You just redo the, because now there are not two incomes. You now operate at the one income. And you are happily enjoying it. If you used to eat meat 4 times, now that we're in Kisumu, we used to have somebody bring fresh fish from Dunga. And he always passed our house. And he would give us buta in kilos. So we changed to fish. And it was only 20 shillings. Per kilo in the 80s, 1980s. Now you need to understand that the idea of many people are because they are not clear about their mission. They hear the husband has been taken to Namibia. They insist, no, I can't lose my job. So they stay in Kenya with the children and the guy is in Namibia. I'm sorry, I should not have picked Namibia because there may be somebody here who worked in Namibia. I should have picked another place. But they stay there 10 years. The critical years of the children, finally are back together, and the children think this is an uncle or Baba Mkate because they never agree with the father. Why? The wife refused to join the husband. And sometimes it's not the wife who refused. The husband said, no, we can't copy. Our economy was, just wait a minute. Why can't you live on one salary and lower your standard of living because you have a mission to achieve? Am I communicating? Yeah. You have a mission to achieve. That lack of mission is what is destroying. And that's why a lot of people do not want. And you know, like I share, you know these things are so temporary. If you came to our house, you'll not know whether the children were ever there. Because by the time you are 43 years married, only the grandchildren visit once in a while. But it's only once in a while. So the two of us. But that period of having, we got 3 children. Maybe my wife keeps saying we should have had more. But with that period of getting children, you have to stop everything for 3 reasons. Number one, you have a mission to achieve. Number two, it's temporary. Therefore, don't be afraid. Number three, you will be enjoying the fruit of your investment when they are adults. Am I communicating? So you need to come to where Instead of competing among one another, ask, what's our mission? That means somebody wants to promote you. But if you realize the promotion will take you away from your children, you say, why don't you give karaoke that promotion? Say, what's wrong? No. For now, the children, the age of my children is such that it will harm them. He said, you are a fool. How do you know there will be another promotion? You know what I discovered? I was in Shell for 30 years. Initially, you are all competing to get to the top. Then by the age of 40, you are at the top. For the rest of the time, the young people you recruited yourself join you in management. By the time I'm retiring, I retired very early at 55. We are seated together in the same management. I may be earning a little more, but we are seated together in the same management with the people I recruited who came out of university 10 years after me. Am I communicating? You are insisting on destroying your marriage, destroying your family in order to get promoted by the age of 35. Then go where? Am I communicating? Delay your promotions. Refuse promotions. By the time you are 45, if you married at 25, even your last born will be finishing high school. Am I right? Then from 45 to 60, how many years are those? 15 years. You come and catch up all the people who went ahead before you. By the time you are 55, all of you are in the top. Because the reason you are going behind is not because you are not hardworking, but because you have different priorities. Am I communicating? Those are the things that... So the commonality of mission, understanding the mission. You know, Psalm 68 verse 6 is saying, God says the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with the singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Family is God's idea for social peace and development. That's why we're having so many problems in the nation. The other day, somebody said that they were counting the number of MCAs in one of the Mount Kenya counties, and about half of them were having women names. You know, Same Wanjiru. You know, the very idea that you give your mother's name as the last is an emphasis that you are not brought up by a man. Am I right? And initially we thought it's a few. Now it's gotten to where any class you go to, about 60% come from single homes. How can you expect better society when we do not invest in this idea of Malachi 2:15? And the Lord is saying he created families for the purpose, you know, and I'm going towards finishing because you need to have, in your mission statement, you need to have clear way of measuring progress, KPIs. And I want to give you KPIs for a good home. Remember, we are talking about family leadership. How can you say you are leading your family well? Number one, when you have seen your home as the human development center. If you are the headmaster, your wife is the deputy. Of a human development center. Because the people who become our future presidents are produced in your home. You have no idea what your children will finally become. Or do you? God knows, isn't it? And God has chosen not to make the school, but to make the home where they develop. Many of the things that you are not yours. You know, like we go to a Indian restaurant, and I hate the piri piri. Says, Nganga, what's wrong with you? You can't eat it. You know, I said, okay, so sometimes I try to eat. Then I start crying. I said, why are you crying, a grown-up? Blame my mother. My late mother never taught me how to take piri piri. Am I communicating? It's not your choice. It's the family you grew up in. So what you are doing with your family will determine how, in a lot of ways, how they become later. So you cannot measure your success in family leadership if you cannot say you are developing your children well. And when you talk about developing them, it has to be as per Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. How Jesus grew. And he grew in four ways. He grew in wisdom. Are you investing in the intellectual development of your children? Okay, I kept buying books, reading. Imagine my children will read. They left home without reading some of them. They are still in my bookshelf. But the important thing, I invested. Because you need to understand, it's not just academic. Are you exposing them to their intellectual development. Jesus grew in wisdom. Number two, he grew in stature, physical health. How are you looking after your children? Are they suffering from kwashiorkor or marasmus? If you are nutrition, you understand the two terms. Kwashiorkor is when you take unbalanced diet. Am I right? Marasmus is when you take balanced diet, but too little. How are your children being brought up? Because you can't say you are a human development center and you are not, like Jesus, allowing them to grow in stature. Number three, Jesus grew in favor with God. Spiritual development. And number four, Jesus grew in favor with men. Go and read the passage. So you cannot claim to be leading your family and it's not growing as per the scriptures. And the scriptures have defined what it means for them to grow. So if your child is growing intellectually but physically malnourished, if your child is growing physically well but intellectually malnourished, or if your child is growing well intellectually but they don't know how to relate with one another, you don't allow them to relate with others and ask you questions. Why did he behave like that? In answer to those questions, you are teaching them interpersonal skills. Are we together? But a lot of people, God protect their children never to be touched. They can't even attend Sunday school because the Sunday school teacher is Mama Kali. But she needs to face Mama Kali and learn how to deal with the Mama. Because life, there will be many Mama Kalis. It's your job to explain. Some women are like that. When you meet them, just forgive them before they sin. Now, it's very important for your child to learn. But are you understanding Jesus growing in favor with the man? So number two, ask yourself, is my home the personal retreat or recharge center? Because if truly it's a Christian home, children will suffer there, they'll be insulted, but they know when they come home, they are coming to a recharge center where all their batteries that have been low, the very presence of their parents make them recharge. It's a retreat center. But you know, some of your homes are battlegrounds. Am I right? In fact, children fear coming home. Some of them start asking you, when they are only 10 years, take me to a boarding. When you hear your child say, take me to a boarding school, please know it is a way of telling you are a parental failure.
Wow. Elder Nana, thank you. That was extremely powerful. Any parting shot before we pray?
Let me quickly say three things. Number one, selfish man and selfish woman are a recipe for disaster. No marriage can run well when you have a selfish man and a selfish woman having tried to live together, because everybody will be pulling their direction. My friend, humility is a God requirement. It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you must seek it if your family will be well governed. Number two, I think it will be very, very important for you to understand, like you have said in the discussion, God created male and female. The reason he created them is because there's a role for male and a role for female. And when we mistake those roles, another recipe for disaster. You know, you keep hearing the statement, whatever a man can do, a woman can even do better. Then the men say, no. Whatever a woman can do, a man can do better. Now, let's be fair. God already stopped you from that being a reality. There is a role for this world to run well, for the church to run well, for the nation to run well. There's a role for women and a role for men. Let me ask you, man. You say you can do whatever a woman can do. Have you ever been to maternity? And anyway, do you even have the capacity to be in a maternity? There's no way you can do. God gave certain roles to women, certain roles to men, and we must. And that's what you're saying. My final statement is to say, if you really want God's blessings, then lead your family God's way. Thank you very much.
Amen. Elder Nana, please say a prayer.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
Lord, we are praying that our men that have listened to this message will be better leaders as they follow your word. I'm praying that our women who may have listened to this message will become better teammates in governing their family to the honor and glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. This was a very, very special edition of Adam's Cave, where we went down to Sitam Kitengela to listen to what Elder Nganga and Rebecca Nganga shared in Sitam Kitengela. Please continue to interact with this content, and we look forward again to seeing you for another very exciting edition of Adam's Cave. Have a blessed time, and God bless you.